Pujas, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, on the occasion of Srila Prabhupada's anniversary of accepting the sannyas order of life. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Narada instructs the Prachetas, text number 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dikshita Brahma Satrena. Sarva Bhutatma Medasha. Prakichyam Dishivelayam. Siddha Bunyatra Jajali. They repeat the translation. The Prachetas went to the seashore in the west, where the great liberated sage Jajali was residing. After perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal to all living entities, the Prachetas became perfect in Krishna consciousness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Brahmasatra means cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Actually, both the Vedas and severe austerity are known as Brahma. Vedas, Tatvam, Tapo, Brahma. Brahma also means the Absolute Truth. One has to cultivate knowledge of the Absolute Truth by pursuing studies in the Vedas and undergoing severe austerities and penances. The Prachetas properly executed this function and consequently became equal to all other living entities, as Bhagavad Gita confirms. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Naso Chati Nakang Chati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. When one actually becomes spiritually advanced, he does not see the difference between one living entity and another. This platform is attained by determination. When perfect knowledge is expanded, one ceases to see the outward covering of the living entity. He sees rather the spirit soul within the body. Thus, he does not make distinctions between a human being and an animal, a learned brahmana and a chandala. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini sunichai vasvapa kecha pandita samadashana. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog and a dog eater, outcast. Bhagavad Gita 5:18. A learned person sees everyone equally on a spiritual basis, and a learned person, a devotee, wants to see everyone developed in Krishna consciousness. The place where the Prachetas were residing was perfect for executing spiritual activities, For it is indicated that the great sage Jhajjali attained mukti, liberation here. One desiring perfection or liberation should associate with a person who is already liberated. This is called sadhu sangha, association with a perfect devotee. Srila Prabhupada was once on a morning walk in Juhu Beach, and there are many photographs of Mr. Patel, Dr. Patel, Sriman Patel, walking with Srila Prabhupada. Is he still alive? Passed on, eh? When did he pass on? He's still around. Because usually I see him at Darshan Arti at 7:15. But I didn't see him the other day when I went. He's there every day. So, Dr. Patel is a confirmed impersonalist. And Srila Prabhupada used to converse with him on the morning walk. So one particular morning walk, Dr. Patel didn't like what Prabhupada was saying, but at the same time he liked Prabhupada's personality. And if he didn't like Prabhupada, he wouldn't have come the next day compared to what he said in this particular day. So Prabhupada severely criticized one so-called spiritual leader named by the initials R.K. So he severely criticized this Mr. R.K. And then immediately, you know, Dr. Patel, you know, he became furious. He said, "Swamiji, how can you do this?" And he immediately quoted this verse, Vidya Vinaya Sampane. And he says, you have to be equal, vision, you know? Pandita Samadashana. You have to see everyone equally. And you have to understand everyone equally has a chance to actually glorify the Supreme Lord and to give God consciousness to everyone. And he is also doing that. Why are you criticizing? That means you are not following Bhagavad Gita. Because you are not Pandita Samadashana. Because you criticize. And then this Dr. Patel, he knew Bhagavad Gita very well, especially the Sanskrit verses, but not its actual meaning. So he quoted, he said, when Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, this Vinaya means humility. Because Prabhupada translates the humble sages see with equal vision. He doesn't say just sages, the humble sages. So this word Vinaya means in gentle. It means one has to be sensitive. One has to be gentle. Like that. So he immediately quoted this verse, Dr. Patel. And he said, you are not gentle at all. And you are not a sage that is humble. And because you are not gentle, and you are not a sage that is seeing with humility, you are not sensitive, and therefore you are criticizing this R.K. Right. So then Srila Prabhupada said, that I see with equal vision. But your equal vision and my equal vision are different. And he asked one disciple, you open Bhagavad Gita when he came back to the temple, and he said, you read. And from this particular purport in the Bhagavad Gita, the first line is, or in some paragraph there in the purport, Prabhupada says that equal vision means seeing the Paramatma in all species of life, not only human beings. So that is equal vision. But still Dr. Patel, he was not satisfied. He was not satisfied. So then Srila Prabhupada turned to his disciples and he made a very simple point. He said, you see, I am not discriminating. This person is from Africa, that person is from America, that person is from England, that person is from Australia. Although they are coming from different diverse backgrounds, I am seeing with equal vision by giving Krishna consciousness equally without any looking at the caste system. So Prabhupada made two points to him in terms of Pandita Sama Darshana, but Dr. Patel still didn't understand and he left it at that, because he wanted to still keep the friendship. So later on, one disciple questioned Srila Prabhupada, why did you tell Dr. Patel these two particular points in terms of Pandita Sama Darshana? Then Prabhupada said, I can explain to you because you have faith. He said, the first thing is that we do not discriminate in relation to the species of life. Krishna consciousness is equally applicable to everyone, not only the human beings, according to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gave the example of Mahaprabhu in the Jarikunda forest. There's a nice painting here also. And Srila Prabhupada, I said that because Dr. Patel should understand that this Mr. R.K. is involved in the Murgi mission. Do you know what that means? Yes. Because they kill other living entities to eat them. Especially when you call the fish a water vegetable. It is not meat, it is a water vegetable. So he said, I tried to tell him indirectly that. So seeing with equal vision means that if you can give life, then you take life. But if you cannot give life, then you honor all living entities, which includes the human beings. Not only human beings, but includes all living entities, even in the other species of life. Yeah. Then Srila Prabhupada said, in terms of the other point, when he said, just see, this person is coming from Africa, that person is coming from America, that person is coming from England, that person is coming from Australia. I am not discriminating who should get Krishna consciousness. I am not discriminating. Anyone can get Krishna consciousness, and this is Pandita Sama Darshana. So when he said the second point, Prabhupada said, why did he say that? He said that, and then he quoted this particular verse also, as he quoted in the purport, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati Sama Sarvetu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. He said, we give Krishna consciousness whether one is liberated or not. He said, Srila Prabhupada said, he took the Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu. He took the second two lines preceding the first two lines. In other words, the first two lines talks about being liberated, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, becoming peaceful of not nasochati nakangshati. You're only peaceful if you do not lament and you do not hanker. But Prabhupada said, no, I denied that part of the Bhagavad Gita. I immediately went to the second part. Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu. I am seeing equally. Like Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Pandita Sama Dashana. Why I am seeing equally? Because I am giving Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Bhakti means a devotional service. So I said, I am not discriminating on the basis of the caste system. Birthright is not a qualification. So therefore I have taken the second two lines and I have given Krishna consciousness equally to everyone, irrespective whether they are on the liberated platform or not. And then he said that if I said this to Dr. Patel, he would have said, first become pure and then you get God consciousness. But I am following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Come as you are. So in that particular verse also in Bhagavad Gita, you will read in terms of Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Param, Prabhupada says that when someone takes immediately to the process of Krishna consciousness, he is situated on the liberated platform, although he may not be free from the entanglements of the material nature. So how to understand this? It seems contradictory that you are on the liberated platform when you chant Hare Krishna, but at the same time you are not free from material desires. It seems contradictory, but it's not. So the disciple asked Prabhupada, how is this so? He gave two answers. He says that if you strictly follow the instruction of a pure devotee, and secondly, you have to always follow the instruction of a pure devotee. In other words, do not follow the instruction for some time, but always follow it. So the instruction of the disciplic succession is to chant minimum 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And to follow the four regulative principles. So if you follow the four regulative principles and chant minimum 16 rounds, then you considered a pure devotee. You considered a pure devotee. At the same time, you may be sort of haunted by material desires on the subtle platform, but you do not move those material desires into activity, which is called karma, to get reaction, which is also called karma. You do not move those subtle material desires into activity because you have taken a vow to follow the instructions of the disciplic succession. So honoring and maintaining vows keeps one pure. And it is not difficult to honor and maintain vows provided you have proper association, and that means the association of the devotees. And one is considered liberated, Prabhupada says in that purport. Yet again in the particular verse, very important words are there. It says, Dikshita Brahma Satrayana. And it's very interesting that Prabhupada, he translates this word Dikshita means like Jita Vrataha, being determined. But being determined about what? Brahma Satyana, being determined by understanding the Supreme Spirit. Brahma Satyana, by understanding the Supreme Spirit. So this word Dikshitaha also has its roots in the word Diksha. Diksha comes from Dikshitaha. So, Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Jiva Goswami in Nectar of Instruction on the meaning of Diksha. What's it? Divya Gyanam. What's the verse? Divya Gyanam. Doesn't come right now. Kurya Dadyat. Anyway, there's a particular verse. It just doesn't come into my mind. It's there somewhere in the back. It's not coming out in the front. Anyway, here, Srila Jiva Goswami says that the meaning of Diksha indicates a continuous process of surrender through understanding spirit. Same thing. Dikshita Brahma Satrayana. So Diksha basically means, you will find in this definition of Diksha, the word Guru is not mentioned. So the meaning of actual Diksha is that when your desires for material sense enjoyment is lessening by the desires for spiritual activities is increasing, that is called Diksha. So you do not have to put a separate effort to worry about yourself being haunted by material desires. There is no separate endeavor for that. Simply by increasing your desire in engaging in spiritual activities, that is called Diksha. So Diksha is a continuous process of surrender through the medium of Divya Gyan, read Hyprakasito, to the medium of Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Through the medium of transcendental knowledge, one applies that knowledge into practical activity, which is called spiritual activities. And when one does that, that is the process of Diksha. So the same thing is mentioned in the verse, that after perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal to all living entities on the platform of spirit soul, in connection to the Supreme Spirit Soul, that is called Krishna Consciousness. You have to note that this term Krishna Consciousness has been given specifically by Prabhupada. This term Krishna Consciousness is not even known in the Gaudiya Math. It is only known when Prabhupada formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. They generally use the word Sanatana Dharma a lot, but not the word Krishna Consciousness. So therefore, we can only come to that level of Pandita Samadarshana only through one activity, which is simultaneous. That one activity has two functions. And that one activity of coming to the point of some Pandita Samadarshana is to preach Krishna Consciousness. When you preach Krishna Consciousness, you preach to yourself and automatically you preach to others. It has two functions, the one activity. Then you can become a Pandita Samadarshana. And that type of Pandita Samadarshana is the true occupation or consciousness of a Brahmana. So a Brahmana is meant to offer Krishna Consciousness to the world on the basis of being Krishna conscious and giving Krishna Consciousness to others. So therefore Srila Prabhupada said that our mission is basically four words. He said our mission is to chant Hare Krishna and spread Hare Krishna. That is all. So now we shall read about Srila Prabhupada's accepting sannyas. Today is the anniversary of also Vishwarup Mahotsava, and it is the same day that Srila Prabhupada accepted sannyas in Mathura at the Keshava Gaudiya Math. And then we'll take questions thereafter. So Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita, entitled A Resident of Vrindavan. One night, Abai had a striking dream. The same dream he had had several times before during his days as a householder. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati appeared just as Abai had known him, the tall, scholarly sannyasi coming directly from the spiritual world, from Krishna's personal entourage. He called to Abai and indicated that he should follow. Repeatedly he called and motioned. He was asking Abai to take sannyas. Come, he urged, become a sannyasi. Abai awoke in a state of wonder. He thought this instruction as another feature of the original instruction Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had given him at their first meeting in Calcutta. The same instruction his spiritual master had later solidified in a letter. Become an English preacher and spread Krishna consciousness throughout the Western world. Sannyas was for that end. Otherwise, why would his spiritual master have asked him to accept it? Abai reasoned that his spiritual master was saying, now take sannyas and you will actually be able to accomplish this mission. Formally, the time was not right. Abai deliberated cautiously. By accepting sannyas, a Vaishnava dedicates his body, mind and words totally to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, renouncing all other engagements. He was doing that already. In other words, Abai was already in sannyas consciousness when he was a householder. That is what is indicated here. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had offered sannyas to his leading disciples so that they could continue his mission. They hadn't done it. Preaching in the West had proved perilous even for the Gaudiya Math's most recognized sannyasis. How could he, a mere householder, presume he could succeed where the others had failed? He was hesitant. The helpless, incapable feeling he had expressed in his Viraha Astaka was there. But now his spiritual master was beckoning him over all other considerations, even over natural humility. Now, although he was elderly and alone, the desire to preach just as his spiritual master had preached remained within him. A fierce, though sometimes quietly expressed, determination. The Vedic standard and the example set by previous acharyas was that if one wanted to lead a preaching movement, sannyas was required. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had taken sannyas to facilitate his missionary work. Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas to further the Sankirtan movement. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when his young students had been disrespectful towards him, treating him as an ordinary man, he had taken sannyas. Because a sannyasi is automatically respected, Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas was a calculated tactic. As soon as he began traveling throughout India as a sannyasi, he immediately attracted thousands of followers to the Sankirtan movement. Knowing that many cheaters would accept the saffron dress and abuse the respect given to sannyasis, Lord Chaitanya had advised against accepting sannyas in the age of Kali. He knew that cheaters in the guise of sadhus would act immorally, accumulate funds for their own sense gratification, and make many followers simply to enhance their own prestige. Posing as swamis, they would cheat the public, because the people in Kali Yuga are unable to follow the rules and regulations of sannyas. Lord Chaitanya had recommended that they simply chant Hare Krishna. However, if a person could actually follow the rules, and especially if he had to spread the Sankirtan movement, sannyas was necessary. Then there's two pages, or rather almost three pages, where Srila Prabhupada, he first actually approached another god brother, not Bhakti Pragya Keshava Maharaj. He approached Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, who in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's time was the famous Kunja Vihari Prabhu. He was the main one in the court litigations that actually got most of the, you could say, properties of the Gaudiya Math. So Srila Prabhupada approached him for sannyas. But then after Srila Prabhupada lived with him in the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math in Calcutta, he sort of came to the conclusion that this is not correct to take sannyas from him. Because he came to the conclusion that, you know, Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, former Kunja Bihari Prabhu, you know, he didn't understand the needs and the priorities of the Gaudiya mission. He didn't understand that. Particularly, he didn't understand the mandate that was given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Prabhupada was very careful who he took sannyas from. If he realized that this sannyas guru was not proper, he didn't take. So he subsequently left the Chaitanya Math in Calcutta, and then he came to Vrindavan. Then I'm reading. Abai next turned to Keshava Maharaj in Mathura, and Keshava Maharaj told Abai to take sannyas immediately. But Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj didn't ask him to take sannyas immediately. He says, first you stay in the Gaudiya Math, you do some service, and then we will consider in due course you can take sannyas. But immediately Keshava Maharaj said yes. After corresponding with Tirtha Maharaj, Abai had felt some uncertainty about accepting sannyas. In other words, Tirtha Maharaj gave him some doubts. And now he was being encouraged so strongly, he also resisted. But Keshava Maharaj was insistent. Srila Prabhupada speaks, I was sitting alone in Vrindavan, writing. My godbrother insisted to me, Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, you must do it. Without accepting the renounced order of life, nobody can become a preacher. So he insisted. Not he insisted, practically my spiritual master insisted. He wanted me to become a preacher, so he forced me through this godbrother. You accept. So unwillingly, I accepted. Keshavji Gaudiya Math was located in the midst of one of Mathura's downtown bazaars. Its main entrance and arched doorway led into a courtyard open to the sky through a metal grating above. The architecture was similar to that of the Vamsi Gopalji temple. The atmosphere was secluded as in a monastery. Abai was a familiar welcomed figure here. He had lived here, written and studied in the library here, edited the Gaudiya Patrika, and donated the deity of Lord Chaitanya, who stood on the altar beside the deities of Radha and Krishna, Sri Sri Radha Vinod Vihariji. But his visit during September of 1959 was not an ordinary one. He entered the mat dressed in white. Abai Babu, but he would soon be leaving dressed in saffron, a swami. Abai had been living as a renunciate for 9 years. There was no need for him to observe a ceremony or proclaim himself a sadhu by changing to saffron dress. But it was the parampara system that a man take Tridandi sannyas at the end of his life. He was aware of the cheating sannyasis. Even in Vrindavan, he had seen so-called sadhus who did not preach, but simply spent their days hunting for chapatis. Some swamis of Vrindavan even indulged illicitly in what they had supposedly come here to reject, sex life. Such persons were making a mockery of sannyas. And there were the caste Goswamis also who lived like ordinary householders, running temples as a business to support their families and accepting honor and donations from the public on the false basis of birth. Abai knew of these abuses of sannyas, but he also knew the real purpose of sannyas. Sannyas was for preaching. On the morning of September 17th, 1959, in the 50 by 25 foot deity room on the second floor of the Keshavji Math, a group of devotees sat before the deities of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. The deities were colorfully dressed in royal clothing and silver crowns. Radharani's right hand faced palm forward in benediction for the worshipper. At her side, her left hand held a flower for Krishna. Krishna stood like a dancer, placing his right leg in a casual tiptoe pose before his left, playing his long silver flute, which he had held gracefully to his red lips. His long black hair reached down past his shoulders, and the garland of marigolds around his neck reached down to his knees. On his right stood the deity of Lord Chaitanya, his right arm raised, left arm at his side, his body straight, feet together. He was a soft golden color, and he had large eyes, a well-formed red mouth, and straight black hair down to his shoulders. One level below the deities were pictures of the spiritual masters in disciplic succession: Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gokishna Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and Bhakti Pragyana Keshava Maharaj. Abai sat on the mat of Kushagras besides 90-year-old Sanatan, also to receive sannyas that day. Sitting opposite the two candidates, Narayan Maharaj, Keshava Maharaj's disciple, prepared to conduct the ceremony of mantras and offerings of grains and ghee into the fire. Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, Abai's godbrother, known for sweet singing, played mridanga and sang Vaishnav bhajans. Sitting on a raised asan, His Holiness Keshava Maharaj presided. Since there had been no notices or invitations, only the Math's few residents attended. Narayan Maharaj chanted the required mantras and then sat back silently while Keshava Maharaj lectured. Then, to everyone's surprise, Keshava Maharaj asked Abai to speak. Abai had not expected this. As he looked around at the gathering of devotees, he understood that the common language was Hindi. Only Keshava Maharaj and a few others spoke English. Yet he knew he must speak in English. After Abai's speech, each initiate received his sannyas danda, the traditional head-high staff made of four bamboo rods bound together and completely wrapped in saffron cloth. They were given the sannyas garments, one piece of saffron cloth for a dhoti, one for a top piece, and two strips for underwear. They also received tulasi neck beads and the sannyas mantra. Keshava Maharaj said that Abai would now be known as Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj and that Sanatan would be Muni Maharaj. After the ceremony, the two new sannyasis posed for a photo standing on either side of their sannyas guru, who sat in a chair. Keshava Maharaj didn't impose any strictures on Abai. He simply encouraged him to go on preaching. Yet Abai knew that to become A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami did not mean merely he was giving up family, home comforts and business that he had done 5 years ago, changing from white cloth to saffron cloth, from Abhay Babu to Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, had a special significance. It was the mandate he had required, the irrevocable commitment. Now it was only a matter of time before Bhaktivedanta Swami would travel to the West as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had ordained. This was Bhaktivedanta Swami's realization of his new sannyas status. The Gaudiya Patrika's account of the sannyas initiation include a biographical sketch of Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, listing the major events of his life. The article concluded, "Seeing his enthusiasm and ability to write articles in Hindi, English and Bengali, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gave him the instruction to take Tridandi sannyas. For nearly 1 year he had been ready to accept sannyas. In the month of Bhadra, on the day on which Vishwarup accepted sannyas, Bhaktivedanta Swami at the Sri Keshava Gaudiya Math accepted sannyas from the founder of the Vedanta Samiti, Bhakti Pragyana Keshava Maharaj. Seeing him accept his ashram of renunciation, seeing this pastime of accepting the renounced order of life, we have attained great affection and enthusiasm." Srila Prabhupada was criticized for various things. He was criticized first for crossing the ocean and going to the West. Then he was criticized for giving Brahman initiation to Westerners. Then he was criticized for accepting female disciples into his ashram. And then he was criticized for being the priest for marriages. He married his disciples initially. And Srila Prabhupada said, "For all the criticism, they have done nothing. But despite them criticizing me, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's order has been fulfilled of Priti Viti Acharadi Nagaradi Gram Sarvatma Prachar Hobi Maranam, which is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Then when he sent the four couples to begin and spread Krishna consciousness in London, you know, Malati and Gurudas, you understand? Malati and Shamasunda, Yamuna and Gurudas, and Mukunda and Janaki are the three couples. Was there four? Three couples, sorry. Yeah. And then after they were giving him reports of how wonderful, you know, things are coming up. Of course, they struggled like anything also in the beginning stages. No place to say, so many things are there. So Srila Prabhupada says, "Just see, where my leading sannyas godbrothers failed, they succeeded. So they are actually sannyasis." And then Srila Prabhupada said, "I have written as such in my Bhaktivedanta purports. And I want the world to know that even my Grihastha disciples are actually sannyasis. Just I was actually a sannyasi in my Grihastha life before I could take sannyas." And he writes of such a thing in the Bhagavad Gita. So I'll read it for you to conclude. Yes. This is in chapter 18, text 11. Nahi deha vritasakyam tyaktam karmane ase sata yastu karma phala tyagi satyagiti abhidiyate. Translation: it is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. So in the purport, actually the fanatical sannyasis and so forth in the Gaudiya Math, they don't like this purport. I heard the comment, this particular purport. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, it is said in Bhagavad Gita that one can never give up work at any time. But the sannyasis give up the work of preaching and stay in the holy dhamma and beg. So Prabhupada is making this point. Therefore, he who works for Krishna and does not enjoy the fruit of results, who offers everything to Krishna, is actually a renouncer. But this is most important line. There are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in the factory or some other place, you know, like the stock exchange. And whatever they earn, they give to the society. So I'll read again. There are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in the factory or some other place, and whatever they earn, they give to the society. Such, not just souls, Prabhupada says, he says such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. It is clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work and for what purpose fruits should be renounced. In other words, the actual brahmachari and sannyas ashram can only be brahmachari and sannyas ashram in the missionary spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not those who are wearing saffron and simply living under one tree and living austerely and so forth in the dham. But in the missionary spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only way to have a true brahmachari and sannyas ashram, if the householders themselves are in the category of this type of sannyasi, to maintain such brahmacharis and sannyas ashrams. So we see this shining example or outstanding example here, right here in Chapati. We know that the householders, they contribute, and the brahmacharis and sannyasis who are connected more to this project, they don't have no anxiety to actually go and look for money, because the actual other sannyasis are, the sannyas householders are giving what they earn, their hard-earned money, in some office or factory place. And because such highly elevated souls are present, one can truly maintain the spirit of actual sannyas and brahmachari within the temple. If such highly elevated householders who are actually sannyasis are not present, then you will find that the temple management will tell the brahmacharis, we need money. We need money. So therefore, by their sacrifice of the sannyas householders or grihastha brahmacharis, Prabhupada also uses that term, grihastha brahmachari. So others will criticize, how can the grihastha be a brahmachari? They will say, how can your Swamiji say this? There is such a term in the missionary spirit. If you are not a missionary, you will not understand. You're in the missionary spirit. So therefore it is most important that all sections are present for the whole to be healthy. Not just the part should be present. See? If the householders are not contributing to the maintenance and function and giving facility to brahmachari and sannyas ashram, then what will they do with their money? They will increase their materialism. And they'll become more involved in bondage and karma. The result. At the same time, if the brahmacharis misuse what the householders give, that is also not good. And the sannyasis, that is also not good. So therefore, in effect, sannyas means everyone is renounced. Not just the title of being in Varna Ashram society. Everyone is renounced. And Prabhupada is so amazing that he makes us give us this understanding. And I'll read it again. I like this very much. He says, there are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in the factory or some other place. And whatever they earn, they give to the society. Such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. I, for one, for whatever it's worth as a brahmachari, I know I cannot function with such householders. Even as a preacher, cannot function. And similarly, the renounced householders, they know they cannot function with nice renounced brahmacharis and sannyasis. So we are interdependent. And we all want to take each other, and we need each other to go back to Goloka Vrindavan or to stay in Goloka Vrindavan right here. Okay? So do you have any comments or questions? Oh, I guess I'm a little late. Normally finish at 9. You have any comments or questions? If you have, take one at least. Stop. All right, and there's no comments or questions. Shri Vishnu... Oh, okay. So how much profit is there in the stock exchange? We need more money, yeah? He's working in the right place. Okay.
Hare Krishna. You made it very clear that everybody has to renounce. Either you are a brahmachari or a grahastha or a vanprastha or a sannyas. But in a grahastha life, always this, of course this is what my experience says, is that the thing is there in our heart that one day or the other, that entanglement which we have, that we have to get out. Because finally, one day or the other, our commitment to Krishna should be so strong that except Krishna, when the death comes in our life, at that time, except Krishna, there should be no other attachment. Unless until we are not on that platform, we have to come back again into this material world. So, no doubt, we are doing renouncing, whatever we are earning, we are giving it to the temple, that's okay. But still, that standard we have not reached it. We are not a renouncer, we are not a sannyasi rather. So how to see to it that although we come to the standard as quick as it can, not compromising it.
There are two answers. The first one, as a grihastha, if you facilitate and maintain the brahmachari and sannyas ashram, you can go back to Godhead in this life. So I am blessing you to continue to do that. It is a great need in the world, the Brahmachari ashram. That's where it all begins. So as a householder, if you continue to facilitate and maintain the Brahmachari ashram and spread this as a role model householder, spread this to other temples, you can go back to Godhead. The second answer is that as a grihastha, you can also go back to Godhead. It's a very simple thing, because you're not a grihamedi. Grihastha is an ashram. Sannyas is an ashram. Brahmachari is an ashram. They have the same title as an ashram. So there's no difference between Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, Sannyas ashram. There's no difference on the absolute platform of devotional service. There is a difference when there's no devotional service. See? Like yesterday we were invited to a Grihastha ashram, one nice householder devotee's house. And everything was so wonderfully spiritual. Chanting the holy names, a little bit of questions and answers, and nice Krishna prasad. And it's all Krishna conscious. So one can go back to Godhead even when one is within the Grihastha ashram. No problem. So many devotees have left their bodies already in our movement. You know, not related to Varna ashram, but related to ashram in the sense in relation to pure devotional service. So that's the second answer. The duty of the grihasthas is twofold when it is Varna ashram. The duty of the grihasthas is threefold when it is Daivi Varna ashram, when devotional service is added. The duty of the householders is twofold, two functions, is that they have to give in charity and feed and give Krishna prasadam. But in the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one more function is given. They have to facilitate and maintain the Brahmachari and Sannyas ashram. That's the third thing they have to do, because of the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they have these three primary duties: give in charity for the cause of Krishna consciousness, feed Krishna prasadam, and must maintain the Brahmachari and Sannyas ashram. Of course, the genuine Brahmachari and Sannyas ashram. In that sense, must do those three things. So don't get too worried. Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Natai Go Premanande Hari Hari.